because you can't find enough AA's to agree on how to do it. If any of you see our state chairperson, ask him to come to the podium, please. I am John Langston, and I'm an alcoholic. And I wasn't supposed to be up here, but I do have a little matter that I need to take up with you. I need to take the 10th step, and there seems to be like there's a lot of that going around lately. In fact, somebody got up at the conference and had to take his 10th step. When I wrote out this program, I inadvertently left out one very important person's name, and he does have a lot to share with us, and I don't say that jokingly, because he's a very good, dedicated member of Alcoholics Anonymous and past delegate. And he was on the program from the beginning, but I inadvertently left his name off when I sent it into the state office. Now, Bob, you were supposed to be here, and you are here, and we want to welcome you, and we're glad that you came, and I'm sorry that I left Bob's name off the program. I do that in the spirit of the 10th tradition, the 7th, 10th tradition. Now, I'm getting screwed up here. Virgil's making me nervous, and he always does that. Also, our alternate state delegate from the very first was supposed to chair this meeting, and his name was left off, and I apologize to you too, Frank. And I've been up here too long, and I'm going to turn this meeting over to our alternate state delegate, Frank Rice. Let's help welcome.
Thank you, John. My name is Frank Rice, and I'm a truly grateful recovering alcoholic. Let's open our meeting here with a moment of silent meditation, followed with a serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. We have a very strong program. Any of you here for the first time down in Macon, to our state assembly, I'd like to welcome you. Now, I know there's a lot of you here that's been here several times. I know there's a lot of you here that's had a lot of questions, and some of you may have went back and said, God, what did they really say? But here this afternoon, through the grace of God and some trusted servants, John has got a program put together that there's not no reason why anyone in this room should leave here this afternoon without having the answers to any questions that you might have concerning our service structure in Alcoholics Anonymous. And it's a real honor and a real privilege for me to chair this meeting. And on this program this afternoon, we got some past trusted servants, past delegates. And these people are here today to share with us and answer any questions that any of you may have. So at this point in time, I'm going to start, and we're going to talk about, first of all, qualifications and responsibilities of the DCM. Now, this is a pretty big job, and as John has found out and has known for a while, the DCM is becoming more and more and more important to the service structure in Alcoholics Anonymous, and it certainly is to us in the state of Georgia. So at this point in time, I want you to all give this man a big round of applause, and I'm going to ask Bob Ross, if he will, to come up and tell us a little bit about the qualifications and responsibilities of the DCM. And I just broke Bob's anonymity, but I also believe there's no such thing as anonymity within this God-given fellowship. Bob?
Hi, Frank. I am Bob Ross, and I'm a qualified alcoholic. I proved that over a period of about 35 years. Now I will disprove that I'm qualified to talk about a DCM. I got the program. I didn't see my name on it, so I just let it ride. I said, well, this is good. Errors and omissions, and this is one omission I didn't care whether they left on or not, but John said he still was going to use me. And I will tell you just a little bit, because we have others better qualified than I to talk about the qualifications of a DCM. We start out as a drunk, an active drunk, drinking every day or periodically, whatever pattern we decide. In my case, the higher power stepped in and said it was about time to quit. And in a drunken stupor, I asked for help. And of all the people to ask for, I asked my wife. And by damn, they're always ready to give it to you. And I got it. So then I became a non-drinking alcoholic in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. That was my first step. I happened into a very good, strong group of people who were earnest in their desire to stay sober. And I soon found out that they were not organized, but they did have some people in that group who took the responsibility of seeing that AA was available when the next man came along. One of those was a GSR, so I got to be a GSR. And then eventually, I proved myself to the point where I was elected by the other GSRs from the other groups to be a committee, from the groups to be a committeeman. This was a step up and a step of responsibility, because in my estimation, the DCM is the right hand of the state delegate and the right and left hand of the New York General Service Office, because it's his responsibility or her responsibility to meet with the GSRs from the other groups, have their session, come up with their conclusions, their decisions, and the conscience of those groups as to what is needed or what should be done. This your DCM passes on to its state delegate, and in turn the state delegate passes this on to New York for action or for deliberation. The groups are growing, and as John just said, AA as a whole is growing almost too fast. Right now it's too fast for the state of Georgia. We have our three assemblies, but this is not enough. And so this DCM is going to be the boy who gets leaned on. He's going to have to take the responsibility of seeing that these messages are received from his group representatives and passed on to the point where they will take effect in action. So the DCMs very shortly are going to have an added responsibility of holding what I call in my mind many assemblies. And there'll be many, many assemblies. They're going to be all over the state, different locations, several times a year, so that we can get this material together and get it in the hands of the people who can take it from there. Your DCM should have, before he gets to that office, his past service as a GSR, and enough sobriety to take on this responsibility, for it is a responsible job. Now, I'm going to pass this on to whoever you take next, Frank, because we don't want to talk up here long. We want to give you plenty of time for questions that are in your mind that we haven't answered already.
Okay, the next gentleman that we're going to have share with you just a little bit about the duties and responsibilities is Alan R. Alan?
Hi, everybody. I'm Alan. I'm an alcoholic. I'm highly disappointed Bob decided we shouldn't talk too long, but I got a list of things. I was hoping I'd be the last one here. A lot of things I'm going to say may make someone angry or at least stop and let you think about it. Of course, I'm sure to all the committee members here today are the best there is. You're doing everything you're supposed to be doing. You've read both manuals, and you're following it to the letter. Is that right, Joe? Uh-huh. Of course, all the basic things you need to know are in the two manuals, the national manual and our state manual. In addition to that, it's suggested that a committee member, in our state service structure at least, be someone who has served 2 years as a GSR and would have had at least 2 years sobriety before being elected GSR. Now, we're getting new groups every day, and the oldest member in there sometimes doesn't have three months sobriety, but they need a GSR, so they elect someone to come. That person is always welcome. And maybe if he sticks at it long enough, he'll know what it's all about when he wants to become a committee member. If you're a committee member and someone hoping to become one, or someone hoping to become one, there are certain questions you should ask yourself. Number one, were you an active GSR? Two, did you attend your district meetings? Three, have you attended your state assembly meetings on a regular basis? If you can't answer yes to those questions, you most likely will not be an effective committee member. The day is long past when just holding title is enough. Today's GSRs are alert and sharp cookies. They have the right to expect their committee member and their district to be among the best in the state. That means you're going to have to go to work. And some of these things that'll help you accomplish that is holding regular district meetings. I hear good things that are going on in the state. You're having workshops in various sections, and I know you're doing something worthwhile. It's been a long time coming about, but we've gradually grown into it, and it's becoming an institution with our service structure now. But those workshops should be on the traditions, on the financial support for AA service structures, and the importance of a participation in all of AA's functions, especially our state assembly and conventions. We don't always get the support of our conventions that we need. And basically, we can point a finger at a committee member. If he or she is doing the job, then the word is spreading out through his or her district that we're having an upcoming convention, and it's their duty as GSRs and committee members to see that everyone is informed of that and should attend. It's very important that a committee member have an understanding of our traditions. This knowledge will stand him or her in good stead when problems arise. There are two books you ought to read, if not for your own good, for the people who are under you, the GSRs, and the people in your district. One of them is AA Comes of Age. This will give you some idea of how we arrived at our traditions. And the book 12 and 12, which has the long versions of the traditions, and tells you exactly what they are and what should be done with them. At a recent conference, I believe last year, the topic was on traditions. And one of the questions asked, what was the biggest problem in traditions? And the answer, of course, was that the lack of education and understanding among the members of the fellowship. As a GSR and a committee member, it's your responsibility to educate the people in your district on a group level as to what the traditions are all about. Also, from a recent conference, we hear the watered-down version of the spirit rather than the word of the traditions. I believe that the traditions have held us in good stead for past years, and I personally would not accept somebody's watered-down version of what they consider the spirit of the tradition to be. The traditions are very simple and plain stated. They mean exactly what they say, and any deviation from that, regardless of how you interpret, would be wrong. I don't understand what the spirit
rather than the word of a tradition means. Unless it's somebody wanting to interpret and express their opinion of what it means. I don't think Bill intended it to be that way. And when the conference voted on it, 1955, I believe, they meant for it to be as stated. There are guidelines available from New York on any questions you might have a problem of. Also, our state manual has guidelines and other examples are available at the state office should you have a problem. A committee member should feel free at all times to talk with a delegate on any problem. The delegate is here for that purpose, to assist you whenever and wherever he can. You are the delegate's right arm and a vital part of our service structure. Your input and cooperation are important to him and to the welfare of the assembly. If, as committee member, you are doing these things, you have only two others to remember. You are now a part of our second tradition, a trusted servant, not a boss. Number two, be as grateful for the opportunity to serve AA as you were to obtain sobriety. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, the next gentleman that's going to be speaking to you. Does everyone have this Georgia AA service manual? Okay. Well, I'm sure there's a lot of you out there familiar with this manual. And the gentleman that's going to come up and share with you now just a little bit is a man that I think God allowed to be a big part of our service structure and this manual that we all try to live by today. So at this time, help me welcome Virgil W.
Thank you, Frankie. My name is Virgil Warren, and I am an alcoholic. I am sober by the grace of God and through the instrument that he chose to grant me this sobriety. That's the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. Basically, what I want to talk about is one of our traditions, I think, covers this pretty well. That one, each group is autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. Alan and Bob both started at the bottom and went up with the GSR and the committeeman. And I want to start at the top and come down. When I had the privilege of being your delegate back in 1966 and 67, we only had 89 groups in the state of Georgia at that time. And we thought it was too big for one delegate to handle. In New York, at the General Service Conference, I don't know what's happening now, but up until that time and past that time, practically every delegate that went up there requested of the General Service Conference to grant their state or area, as the case might be, another delegate, because the delegate couldn't cover his territory. And each, with one exception, while I was there, Canada was allowed another delegate in one of their areas, but that was because at the particular time, Canada was just really growing as a partner in AA. The purpose behind it was, and The economy has been growing worse and worse and worse ever since. Was the amount of money that it cost the General Service Conference in New York to bring a delegate to New York. And if we kept allowing these states to elect more delegates, even at that time, the economy of our General Service Conference would have bankrupted. You can imagine with the economy what it is today, what it would be if each state elected more delegates to represent them. Not only would bankrupt the General Service Conference in New York, it would bankrupt a state assembly. We've got to think about that money. Now, what did the General Service Conference in New York tell these people when they asked for new delegates and was refused? They were told that our service manual and our AA structure provides for district committee men in each state. These district committee men are so named committee men because they are not supposed to be, but they are the committee for your state delegate and should function as so forth. I want to ad lib something in here for a minute, interject, and I won't call the state's name or anything about it. But one of our friendly southern states was awarded a second delegate several years ago, and that is the most disorganized state that I know of anywhere. They're fussing and fighting and arguing all the time. Now that's that. So the General Service Conference says to our delegate, and that's who we're talking about, our structure provides for district committee men, which are your district men, your committee. You should go back to your state and see to it that not only that you have committee men, but that you have qualified committee men that can handle the problems and the business of Alcoholics Anonymous in their district. Now, what do they mean when they said that to us? Think about it just a minute now, and I'll go in the other direction for a while and let you think about it. Some group goes out here and they elect a GSR for their group, not because he's qualified to be GSR, but because he's a good old Joe, or because he wants to be GSR. And then what's the next step? Then the next step, the GSRs get together to elect a district committee member, and they elect a man that's not qualified, or they elect a good old Joe because he wants to be district committee man, and they elect him. Then what's the next step? Then the next step is that those committee men are automatically in nomination for a delegate of the state of Georgia. And they are put on the board, which they will be in September, for delegate. And then one of those good old Joes or this unqualified person may be elected your state delegate to represent you in the General Service Conference in New York. And God pity our representation when he gets there. Now, if you think this can't happen, let me tell you something that happened while I was a delegate in New York. I've just told you how this man got there. I'm not going to tell you where he was from either. Thank God it wasn't the southern state. I happen to have been elected delegate chairman of the General Service Conference my second year in New York. And this man got up to the microphone, such as you have back there, and he wanted to make a motion before the General Service Conference. And I recognized him and said, all right, make your motion. Now sit steady in your seat. This man's motion was that all references to God should be deleted from the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. This man was elected delegate from his state and sent to the General Service Conference in New York. Now think about it a while. That's just one of the things. I hadn't got time to go over all of them. But every now and then, I recall two delegates. Unfortunately, one of them was from one of our sister southern cities, states. They got up and criticized me harshly as chairman from the floor. He left New York on Sunday and went back to his respective state. 2 weeks later, he was drunk. And as far as I know, he may still be, I don't know. But it can happen. And the important thing to do to strengthen our program of Alcoholics Anonymous, our organization of Alcoholics Anonymous, if you will, is first to elect a qualified GSR from your group. Qualified to be a GSR. And then for those GSRs to get together and elect a qualified district committee member to help the delegate. It seems to be a habit among Alcoholics Anonymous members to disregard their district committee members, to want to go direct to the delegate, which is not the way it should be. They should have a meeting with other GSRs and with their committeemen. Each group is autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. When we want to do something in our group, that we say that our group is the nucleus of AA, and it is the nucleus of AA. But when we affect somebody else's group by what we do, or when a district affects AA as a whole, then we are messing up and we're gumming up the whole ball of wax. Economically, we could work better if we would go through our committeemen. Organization-wise, we would be better if we could go through our committeeman to our delegate and not have him chasing all over the country. I hope that maybe that I have said something. I am not talking through the top of my hat because I have seen it. I've seen it in action. And the bigger we get, the more people we have, the more prevalent it could become. So think about it. There's nothing in this God's world that I love any more than Alcoholics Anonymous, because without it, I wouldn't have anything else. It's given me everything that I possess today has come through my sobriety in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. I don't want to see anything happen to the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. God bless you and thank you for listening to me.
I would say that was a very strong message that you just heard. At this time, now we're going to move right on in with the qualifications and responsibilities of the GSR. Now, on this program, I'm reading, we got a Joe Clements, we got a Bob Fowler, and we got a Keith Strickland. Now, Keith said those other two hadn't showed up, so he gets all their time and his. So at this time, help me welcome Keith S.
My name's Keith Strickland. I'm an alcoholic. Hi, everybody. The letter I got from John through Pat, our office manager, asked me to make a talk 15 minutes. And so that means my talk now is going to be 45 minutes. So just get comfortable, everybody. Since the other two guys didn't show up, you know. Qualification of a GSR and the duties and responsibilities. You know, I got into service work the same way just about all of us got into Alcoholics Anonymous, and that was to save my life. I tried to stay sober piecemeal, shall we say, or half measures maybe, and it didn't work. My program started working, the program of AA for me, and my life started changing after I got into service work, basically, because I just couldn't be a part-time member and make it. The group that I was a member of at that time elected me GSR in my ninth month of sobriety, I think. Looking back on it, that's been over 11 years ago. And I came to that assembly. That was in September of 72. And I didn't miss one until January of this year. And I was telling John Langston about this a little while back, and I said, this should be some sort of record, and he informed me that I weren't even close. I think that's about 30 in a row, and he's got quite a few more than that. But the State Assembly has just been fantastic in my program of recovery. Without the State Assembly, without serving in the service structure, I just would not have made it now. It's just plain and simple. And I started out as a GSR, and I have the easiest part on the program because that's who we're talking to today, is GSR. There's a few of you committee members scattered around, but you're insignificant. We're talking GSRs right now. And I'm glad to see all of you here. How many GSRs are here for the first time? Raise your hand. It's quite a few. And welcome. I just hope that it can be as productive for you as it has been for me over the past 11 years. It is a lifesaver, the State Assembly is. I just simply love it. I've got a few pamphlets and books here, mainly to show you where the duties and responsibilities and qualifications of a GSR is located. And the main one probably is the AA Service Manual, the Blue Book, we call it. And you can read in there all about that. Now, of course, Frankie has already mentioned the AA Service Manual of Georgia. This is ours. Then one of the best places in the concise form is the orange pamphlet, we call it, the AA group. It is all listed in there. And of course, this pamphlet also, that the GSR pamphlet, that says the GSR may be the most important job in AA, and it just very well might be. The GSR, in my opinion, is the leader of the group. In a lot of groups, this might not be the case. Sometimes the secretary handles more duties in a way than the GSR, but in the most of the groups that I've been associated with and visited over the years, the GSR is usually the leader of those groups. The GSR works with the secretary and the treasurer, or the combination. If you have a smaller group and have a combination secretary-treasurer, they work together to to see that a lot of things are done. Things like seeing that the literature racks are full and that their literature is ordered timely. And also seeing that the meetings are carried on, helping the chairman in case a speaker doesn't show up or something. Something has to be done then. The GSR promotes the financial part of AA to encourage members to contribute and to contribute more when needed. They talk about money, which a lot of people don't like to talk about in AA, that we might hear a little bit more about this weekend concerning our state convention and so forth. The GSR works with the Secretary Treasurer to see that all the contributions are made and made timely. The contributions to the State Assembly is our number one contribution in the state of Georgia. Most of the groups consider it that way. In the large areas like Atlanta, Savannah, and so forth, you have your intergroup office that you also contribute to. But most of our rural areas, which Georgia is basically made up with geographically, we contribute more to the State Assembly than to any other one contribution. And then also to the General Service Office in New York, and of course our prepaid state convention, which goes to the General Service Office as well. The GSR sees that these things are done, and that they're done on time. He also, of course, as you are doing this weekend, attends all assemblies, intergroup meetings. If you don't have an intergroup representative, a lot of our smaller groups in rural Georgia, the GSR goes to intergroup meetings and so forth. He also attends district meetings, which we have in practically every district and zone now on a monthly basis. And the ones that don't have that, let me encourage you to do this. I think, of course, it was, we know, we have known all along that we needed these things, but Alan Royston, who was the delegate just before I was, started pushing this harder than any other one thing. And when I was elected and started as delegate in 78, that was one of my prime aims, was to encourage a monthly district meeting of the GSRs in every district and zone in Georgia. And it has paid off. What Alan started has really paid off. It has had a lot to do with the unity that we have in the state of Georgia. Georgia has one of the oldest service structures in the United States. And we have one of the very best, if not the best, we have one of the very strongest. And of course, this is one of the reasons we've been at it a lot longer. And we've had leaders before us, like Virgil and Alan, and leaders that put this thing together, Bob Ross and Joe Clements and Bob Fowler. I don't mean to miss any of them. When I start naming names, I always miss one. But these guys that came before us, set up a very strong service structure in Georgia, and because of that, we have a very good structure, and we're recognized nationally as having one of the best in the state. You have to be a delegate and go to New York and sit with the others and talk with them, and they start asking you questions. How do you do it down there in Georgia? You know, they want to know because they know how strong we are, but we're not strong enough. We want to be a lot better. We want to get better all the time. And the main link, of course, to all of this is the GSR, the General Service Representative. He is, or she is, the link between the assembly here, the delegate, the committee members, back to the group. The GSR is the one that delivers the message to the group. And also the GSR is the one that brings that group conscious here to the assembly and gives it to our delegate and to the committee members and so forth. The GSR on a group basis is basically the same as a delegate on an area basis. The GSR should and does listen to the group conscience. If there's something you vote on particularly, the GSR tries to carry forth those wishes. But if it's just a general consensus, a group conscience, then that's what the GSR tries to make known at this state assembly and other meetings, the district meetings and so forth, that he or she attends. It is a very, very important job. Now, one thing that we don't want to overlook, one of the most important aspects of being a GSR is reporting to your group when you get back home, especially on this assembly, but also on your district meetings. When you get back, your next closed meeting, this is my opinion when it should be done, this is not in the book necessarily, your next closed meeting this coming week, you should make a short report to your group on what went on up here. You should be making notes throughout the week, especially the report that John will give you tomorrow, which is one of the most, probably the most important report of the year, and that's the conference report. He's going to tell us what all went on. You should be making notes on that so that you can report these things he tells us tomorrow to your group when you get back home. Try to make it very thorough, but try to make it as brief as possible to be thorough. Now, if you want to turn your group off, you drag it out. And next time, they're going to forget to give you your 10 minutes on the program. That's for sure. But do it thorough, but do it as brief as possible as you do it thorough. But this is one of the most important things. How are they going to know? How's your group going to know unless you go back and tell them? This is the way they find out. So this is one of your most important jobs. Let me say again that if I had not been elected to GSR, I don't believe I would have made it now. Of course, that's in God's hands. But I know, looking back on my story, exactly how it happened. And only by getting in service work and getting active, becoming a part of Alcoholics Anonymous, did this thing work for me. I just had to become a total, complete member of Alcoholics Anonymous. And being a GSR, we're grateful you're here and that you're a GSR, but you should be very grateful also that your group elected you, that they had the faith and confidence in you to elect you a GSR and to send you here to this meeting. And we sure are glad to have you here, and I'm glad to be here with you. Thank you, Frank.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you just heard some strong comments here from duties and responsibilities of DCMs and GSR. At this point in time, we're going to have questions come from the floor, and we're going to ask that you, when you bring your question, you bring it to this microphone here, because this is being taped, and the tapes will be available for any and everybody that would like to take them back home and let some of the group listen to what goes on at the Macon State Assembly. Before we do this, though, I just got another note here, and I'm always getting notes. It said, I ought to read that seventh tradition. That's what I need to do. It said, every AA group and state assembly ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Now, I added the state assembly, but that's it's time for that no dues or fees basket to go around, and we don't do this before anybody wants to get up and run away. But we do want y'all to have the questions from the microphones to these gentlemen that's sitting up here, because you can believe there's some answers to be had. We as active in the second part as we were in the part about no deals or fees and getting the comfort, we're going to have a busy second half here now. As I said, anyone that's got, you know, there's the only dumb question in Alcoholics Anonymous is one you don't ask. And I know there's got to be some questions out there, and like, once again, we'd like for you to come up to the microphone, because all this is being taped for each and every one of us. So if you will, anyone that has any questions pertaining to service of district committeeman and GSR and Alcoholics Anonymous, feel free to come up to the microphone there, and I'm sure we got some answers for you. And don't everybody run over everybody getting here. Really active, and they know their service structure, but I just can't believe they've settled every question that anybody might have had right now. Is anybody confused at all? Here comes John. He said he'll take a shot.
I'm John Langston, alcoholic.
Hi, John.
We have some trusted servants and groups and in districts that do not do their responsibility. And I would like to ask one of you past delegates, the alternate delegate, what do you do in the case when you have a district committee member who is not doing his job, or a GSR who is not doing his or her job? Thank you.
Adam, would you like to take that? Well,
committee member, I didn't know any better, so I asked him to step down. GSR wanted another one. And if I were a GSR and I had a committee member who wasn't doing what I thought he ought to, I would get some opinions from other GSRs in the district and get their thinking on it. And if he didn't improve, I'd impeach him. That's your right and your privilege to do so. But first, give him an opportunity to know that you're supporting him every way and that he can and will do better things by your support. And then if he doesn't do it, fire him. There's nothing wrong about that. A lot of people get elected to jobs they thought they wanted. You know, they thought, we'll just get this big title and walk around here and slap myself on the back down to congratulate me. I'm a wheel. And that's all they ever do with a title. That's not service work. That's egotism. So I would replace the person or ask them to step down. And you can do it without being angry or discourteous. You just tell them the facts of life. Let chips fall where they may. But don't do it individually. Talk it over with the GSRs and make arrangements for what to be done. However, if you're a committee member and you've got a GSR and your district is not doing anything, like I had one, he called me up, or I called him up and invited him to an area meeting, a zone meeting, and he said that wasn't part of the GSR duties. So I went over to his group, and he was sitting there, and I explained to him that what we were trying to do within the zone, we needed every GSR there, but some of them weren't showing up, and their group was one of them. And so they asked him to step down. They made him mad, and he volunteered to step down. That's what happened. Of course, he doesn't speak to me today, but that's his problem. What we're after is service to AA. Some people are going to be offended. But if they're good AA members and stick with the program, they'll soon get over it. I've had my feelings hurt many a time. I had a GSR tell me one time that I didn't know what the hell I was doing. And he refused to come for several weeks or several months. But he eventually showed up and became one of the best district. So it doesn't hurt to put the facts on the table and ask them what they want to do about it.
I was the only bashful guy here. My name is Joe Phelan, and I'm a grateful recovering alcoholic. I'd like to address this question to Virgil. How many GSRs are here? That looks like about 175 to 200. We got about 450 groups in the state of Georgia. We do a lot better in folks going to our district meetings and going to our assembly than any other state that I know of, with possibly one or two exceptions out of the 91 areas that are involved in general service at the General Service Conference. I think what really is happening is that we have many districts where we have 20 to 25 groups, and we may have 10 or 12 or 15 with activity in the district meetings. And I think it may be more a question of maybe not even realizing that. And I'd like to have Virgil address the question of starting to raise again the percentage of the group conscience of Alcoholics Anonymous through the districts.
You got a good question, Mr. Joe. I realize, and I think everybody in this room realizes, that we have districts that do not participate. And participate from a committeeman standpoint, and generally you will find, if you will look over the records, you will find that a district or zone, whatever the case might be, that there's not many GSRs here, you'll find that that particular district or zone doesn't have a district committee member or a qualified district committee member that is diligently working in his district. To me, a district committee member, as Alan mentioned here, partially to this question is that the district committee member should hold his meetings, district meetings, and then those groups that don't send a GSR to that district meeting, he should make a point to go to these groups and ask for from the chairman for a few minutes time and explain to them that they do not have a GSR attending these meetings, and that if they don't have a GSR, they should elect one, and if they have one that's not attending, they should replace him with somebody that's interesting enough to attend. It's a difficult job, there's no question about it. Again, I'm not going to call any names, but I know a group right here in the state of Georgia where a man has been GSR of that group for about 18, 20 years and has never attended a state assembly meeting in Maine. And I have had a few people come to me from that group and say, what to do about it? And I've told them what to do about it. Now, whether they've ever done it or not, I don't know. I hope they have, and I hope they have a GSR here. They know who I'm talking about. But it is a difficult job, and it's something that we have where we have to take the bull by the horns and get the job done. I know, as Alan mentioned, there's a lot of people in AA in the state of Georgia that don't like me. And before I die and go away, there may be some more that don't like me. Because when you, as I mentioned, this is my life, and I want to carry this message to the Southern alcoholic, and if you ask me a question, I'm going to answer it. I'm going to answer it to the best of my ability. But the whole thing, I think, in answering Joe's question is that we, as AA members, have just got to take the bull by the horns, and we've got to elect the GSR of our group, a capable GSR of our group, and we've got to push that those GSRs elect a committeeman and that this activity comes about in their district and that they attend the assembly. Thank you.
I have a question for Virgil. My name is David Fulton. I'm an alcoholic.
David.
Virgil, I think we'd all like to know what happened to the state delegate that wanted to delete God from Alcoholics Anonymous. And also, there are groups in my district, by the way, I'm from Savannah group, who do not contribute on the percentage system like they should. Is there anything that we can say to those groups, or should we say anything to those groups, to urge them to contribute like they should, which is the best way to uphold our unity?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I can very briefly tell you what happened to the delegate that brought that up. I don't know. I do know that for the balance of that session of the General Service Conference, that there were very few people there They were very courteous to him. Like me, I think he made some people mad. And as John mentioned a while ago, I was a lot more vehement on that subject when I came back from the General Service Conference than I am now. I will say this to you, that he didn't give up. For 1 or 2 years, and I'm sure that it was at his own expense, that he got out a 2- and 3- and 4-page letter to all of the delegates that he could get hold of on the mailing list, and he wrote them letters about that subject. And apparently he must have finally either given up or somebody shut him up. I don't know what happened to him. But anyway, I haven't seen him or heard from him in a long time. I think the only answer I can give you to groups not contributing, I have found, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, that I believe, in my experience in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, that an alcoholic, a member of AA, sober alcoholic, a member of Alcoholics Anonymous will give you the shirt off of his back if you give him a viable reason for it. I've seen it happen, and I believe they will. I've seen it happen here in the assembly, and I've seen it happen other places. And I think it's a question of the commitment going to those groups that are not contributing and just laying it on the line as to why they should contribute. Given the complete story about our convention and our state assembly and our district meetings and our general service office in New York, give it to them completely as to what is the program of AA as a whole, and let them know that it requires money for this functions to operate. And I just believe these groups will give it to you. Thank you.
My name is Bill Darcy, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi,
everybody. I'm from the Griffin Group. Virgil, I ain't made up my mind yet whether I like you or not, but I'm direct this question at you. What is my responsibility as a GSR to a new group that is forming in my immediate area?
Let me clarify that question a little bit before you go too far. You are a GSR. Your responsibility toward a GSR that is already elected of a new group, or getting them to elect a GSR?
A new group that has just formed.
Mm-hmm.
What is my responsibility, if any, to that group? Assisting them or helping them?
Well, first of all, let me say that gets back to the district committeeman again. If you are having district meetings in your district, you should bring up the fact before the district committeeman that this particular group doesn't have a GSR. And it should be the responsibility of the district committeeman to see that they do elect a GSR. Now, I think each and every one of us has a responsibility to any AAs or to any AA group. And if you can't get the district committeeman to do it, there's absolutely nothing wrong than you personally going to that group and explaining to them their necessity of having a GSR. I don't think you're using the word obligated, I can't see that you're particularly obligated personally, but I think each and every one of us have a responsibility to go and help a new group or a new bunch of alcoholics the best of our ability. Thank you.
Everyone, I'm Collie Snyder, and I'm an alcoholic. GSR, the Flint River Group. We in our zone or district, it happens to be zone up in Atlanta, are in the procedure or will be in the procedure of electing new officers in September. I don't feel like I'm stepping on my DCM's toes here, but I was on a committee to review the electoral procedures for doing this, and I think probably Keith might have the answer to this, or at least shed some light. Aside from the sobriety qualifications, one of the qualifications as it now reads is that this person be a GSR or an active officer in the zone. It was brought up at the last zone meeting that by one of our GSRs that this person could also be or should also be any member of Alcoholics Anonymous within that district who meets the sobriety qualification. In other words, their point of view was that there are an awful lot of good AAs who may not be an active GSR or alternate today within that zone. Since I, as a GSR, will have to vote this, and I will more or less have to vote this as my own conscience as to whether to allow this to be inserted into our bylaws or our rules for election, I just would like to get some experience from trusted servants as to whether this, whether the officer should come from the active GSRs, alternates, or whether it could be and should be inserted as any member meeting the sobriety qualifications within the zone.
Connie, you mentioned, I think, electing GSR. You're talking about DCM.
DCMs, district officers. Oh, right.
Keith, you want to?
Well, generally, and I think it's listed in our service manual, I didn't turn right to it, the district committee member comes from the GSR ranks. And hold it just a second. I think we've got it right here. Okay, in the blue book, it's only immediate past or all new GSRs are eligible to run and vote is one way to do it. And another one is only newly elected GSRs are eligible to run and vote. And the number three way is only immediate past GSRs are eligible to run, but all GSRs outgoing and new should vote. Now, the way generally it's done in Georgia, is my understanding, is that the DCM comes from a GSR that has served a term as GSR in Georgia. We vary from this just a little. Now, this is the way we do it down in District 3, and I think it's generally accepted in Georgia. In order to be elected district committee members, you should have served your 2 years as GSR. So that would mean then the district committee member would not come from newly elected GSRs. They would come from someone that has served 2 years as a GSR. And so that would be immediate past, and however far past you wish to go, I suppose, but not generally just from anyone. The district committee member comes from the GSR ranks, is the way we do it in Georgia. And maybe one of these other fellows would like to comment on that also.
Up to that point, I think Keith is right. I'm Bob Ross, an alcoholic. When you're considering material for a district committeeman, though, you also have to think ahead to when it comes time that he may want to run for state delegate. And your requirements for state delegate are 5 years sobriety. So if he has 2 years as a GSR and 2 years as a committeeman, he'd only have 4 years. Of course, normally he would have more than that, but there are GSRs in newer groups who do not have a year of sobriety yet when they're elected GSR through necessity, which might make a question when they come up for delegate.
I'm Raymond Young. I'm an alcoholic. DCM from District 2. Frankie, I'd like to direct this question to anybody that can give me an answer. We have in our district 12 GSRs and about 30-odd meetings. Some of our groups meet two and three or more times a week. And they're represented at the assembly with one GSR. I'm aware that in other districts in the state, there are some places where there are several meetings or groups meeting in one place. And they're represented here by a number of GSRs. I'm not trying to be obnoxious. I just want to find out, are we underrepresented or are they overrepresented? What is a GSR supposed to represent? A meeting? Are all the meetings that meet in one particular place? Or just what is the answer? In other words, if every meeting is entitled to a GSR, we should have about 30-something up here instead of 12.
Raymond, the way this works best, I think, each group, of course, has a GSR. You have to be a group to have a GSR. Now, in clubs, we're getting a lot of clubhouses in Georgia now. Some groups meet four times a week in that clubhouse, but if it's the same group, it has one GSR. They might have a step meeting. They might have a discussion. Closed discussion meeting, they might have a speaker meeting, and they might have a tradition meeting. That would be four. But that is one group meeting four different nights. They have one GSR. They have one treasury, one secretary treasurer. Now, that same clubhouse, that takes up four nights, can also accommodate another group for three nights or some morning meetings, but it's necessary that it be a group of its own. They form people, AA members, form another group separate from this first one we're talking about. Completely separate group. They pay rent to the club and they meet two nights a week or whatever. They have their own GSR. They have their own secretary treasurer. But this is group A and the other one is group B, so to speak. They are separate groups. So that in order to have a GSR, in order to have group officers, you have to have a group, and that group can have as many meetings as they deem necessary. The group that I belong to right now meets four times. We have four different meetings per week, and there are different type meetings. They meet in a clubhouse, but it is one group. We have one GSR, one treasury, and so forth. Now, I'm very familiar and do a lot of visiting with others, clubs right close to us that have up to four or five different groups meeting in the same clubhouse. But everybody knows who they are, they know what group they belong to, they know who the GSR is of what group. So it must, in order to have the GSR, it must be a separate and distinct group. One thing that I didn't say when I was talking is that a GSR should have one home group, and he should do his service work from that one home group. A GSR should not have two home groups. He should not be GSR here and secretary treasurer over there. The GSR should hold only one job. I didn't say that either. The GSR should not have another job in that group. He shouldn't be GSR and treasurer. He should be GSR and of that group only, one group. One group, one vote. One group, one GSR.
I'm Leroy D., a grateful recovering alcoholic. Hi, everyone. Sober tonight through the grace of God, working through the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous.
I have a question. I hear that, everybody's talking money, money, money. you know, and we in, as a group, and I'm from Atlanta with the New Life group, we have problems getting money too, you know, to send to the different organizations we contribute to and the upkeep of our meeting place. The question is that what is your limitation to raising money? And you know, I find since being in Alcoholics Anonymous, it's a lot of money can be raised, but there's so many stipulations on how going about getting it. You know, I noticed that some people can get it and some people can't, you know. And I find that being black, and I don't mean to make this a racial issue, and I hope my white friends don't take it as such. But being in the New Life group for a little better than a year, I came in as alternate GSR with about 9 months sobriety. I was scared to death and still scared to death because I'm more or less, I feel, being used by the other group because I'm not really qualified for as the background of Alcoholics Anonymous, but willing to learn and participating. But I noticed that in Atlanta, big as Atlanta is, and I attend five groups there that regularly, and I noticed that we don't have a clubhouse, not a black clubhouse, but a clubhouse where blacks can go in and socialize, you know. And I was wondering, you know, why? You know, I was wondering, why is it that we don't have a clubhouse? Why haven't somebody took an initiative before I got here? And I imagine it's a lot of people that have, and just never seen to make it. You know, I believe that the best representation from Atlanta are from people that have clubhouses. And I would just like to hear from someone that, you know, they could probably, you know, open my eyes to what I can't see, you know, because I really, that's one of my main objective is to see that we have a place that we can go and socialize other than 1 hour a night. And I believe we have better representation and we have a better input into Alcoholics Anonymous. Because you can look around the room and you can tell there's not very many of us, you know. So I would like to know, how do you really go about getting a clubhouse? You know what, I can raise some money, but I got to know, you know, certain things to do. Because people tell me I can't do this and I can't do that. And thank you.
Somebody else not like me. First of all is, in going around AA meetings, before I opened my big mouth, I looked in that financial report to see how much our group had contributed. We contribute in our group on a percentage basis. To the state assembly, to the convention, and to New York, and so forth. We give, I don't remember the exact figures, but we take 50% of our intake collections goes to somewhere. We'll just say 10% to the state assembly, 10% to the convention, 10% to the intergroup, 10% to New York, and so forth. And then we find that works out real fine. We're not constantly nagging members for money. But in collecting at a group, I have noticed a lot of secretaries and chairmen of meetings, when at times for collection, they act like they're almost embarrassed to ask for it. And some of them will reach over and pick a basket up and poke it out there without seeing anything. And start having announcements and talking about other things. And some of them will maybe say, well, we've got coffee to pay for. And poke a basket out there. And I have noticed, frankly, in that quick poke with a basket that the people are sitting on the front row don't even have time to get the pocketbook out. Here's the basket stuck in their lap, and as a consequence, they don't contribute. They just pass it on. You don't really start getting any contributions till you get halfway back in the group. People don't have time to get the pocketbooks out. And I think if we would give a sensible explanation as to why we need that money, that we need it for the convention, we need it for the assembly, we need it for New York, if an inner group, if you have an inner group. And I make a fun out of it, talk about here comes the religious part of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I'm going to stand up here and talk and give you a chance to get your pocketbook out before I pass this basket around. And our group come along pretty good with it. Now, the clubhouse. I don't know why you don't have a clubhouse, but there is no provision whatsoever in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous for a clubhouse. Alcoholics Anonymous cannot own or whatever word you want to use a clubhouse. It can't be done. First place is, and this may come as a shock to you, there's no such thing as Alcoholics Anonymous. So they can't own or possess anything. Now, if you or two or three other members of your group or other groups want to get together personally, not in the name of Alcoholics Anonymous, and go out and rent a house and fix it up, paint it up, clean it up, and let AA groups meet there or have a custodian and have coffee there and so forth, that's fine. That's all right. That's how they all are working and are supposed to be working, but it's strictly a personal thing. It's not Alcoholics Anonymous that's doing it. It's people doing it personally and letting the AA groups meet there, either on a cash rental basis or a percentage rental basis or whatnot. Does that answer your question? Yeah.
someone that has formed a club about it, put it together, and you know, and give me some ideas on how to go about that stuff. And appreciate all the help, you know, financially.
I think we got a man right here that can tell you how to put one together. They got one.
I can tell you what little I know. I've been involved with more than one. Now with just one, however. But what you do, you get enough interested members in your group or in your community, in your area that you're meeting in, to pay dues, make contributions, and so forth. One thing we have to stay away from, and this I think is part of one of your questions, is that although clubs are completely separate from AA and are not part of AA themselves, since they are listed in our AA directories, some of them, they are asked to abide by the AA traditions, and mainly the tradition of self-support, so that AA members make up clubs, and contributions, dues, and so forth should come from AA people. We don't want any outside money into the clubs. This is the guidelines, according to the clubs, from the General Service Conference. And this harms us sometimes, we think, because we could get all kinds of contributions, see. But if people start contributing to a club, they think it's contributing to AA. And that's the reason that the General Service Conference asks that we abide by the traditions as to clubs as well as the group. Generally, though, if you've got enough people interested, it isn't any big problem. You just form a corporation. That's the first thing you do. You form a corporation, just like you were a business or something. Take 8 or 10 or 25 or 50, however many members you've got, and set your dues at whatever you can afford. One club that I helped start, where I'm a member now, we paid $120 a year for a few years until it was paid off, and then we lowered the dues. But this was coming from us, see? It was coming from us. Not, we didn't go out in the countryside and say, y'all come on and join our club. This is AA people doing this. This is one thing we want to remember, is to keep it within the AA traditions and guidelines according to clubs. But that's the way you do it. You have to have enough interested people to do it. Enough of your own people that want to have a clubhouse, and then this corporation operates the clubhouse. You pay generally you pay the utilities on it. You pay all the upkeep on it, and then you charge the AA groups whatever it costs to maintain it and to run it. If it's just one group, that one group pays a certain amount of rent per month. If it's eight groups that's going to meet there, each group would pay rent to the club. Pay rent to the club. The club would have a treasurer, and that treasurer would never be the same as a treasurer of a group that met in that clubhouse. It would always be a separate person, so that all monies are kept separate. So that's generally it. One that I had to do with before, the one where I have my membership now, we remodeled and spent a lot of money on a house. It was an older house, and we remodeled it and made it into a real nice club. And at that time, I think there were three groups meeting there, and we charged rent to all three of the groups. And the three groups paid rent, and this paid for the club itself took out a bank loan, which we can do, see, as individuals, as a corporation. The rent that we received paid off the bank loan from the three different AA groups meeting there. So this is generally the way it's done. We just want to remember, no outside contributions. It has to come from us, something we want to do. One thing that I like, and I don't know who said it might have been me. Maybe that's why I like it. And that is that if AA can't afford it, AA don't need it. I believe that. I believe if we can't afford something, we don't need it. We don't need other people paying for our sobriety or our way of living and staying sober. We need to keep our contributions among ourselves, for sure. I want to add one thing to what Virgil said. I like everything he said about passing the baskets. One thing I want to add to it. I like to hear the chairman say, if you are a non-AA visitor with us tonight, please do not contribute. We don't want non-AA money in the AA basket. One thing that we are most happy with, and that the world at large likes us so much for, is our tradition of self-support. And if we let Al-Anons, or the preacher and his wife, or grandma and grandpa that's visiting that night, contribute to our basket, we're accepting outside contributions. So the chairman should always say, If you are a non-AA visitor with us tonight, we ask that you do not contribute. I think that's very important.
This has been a good meeting this afternoon, and you people, I think we've all got some good answers. The gentleman down there, I'm not going to let you, I'm going to get my poke in at that. First of all, if you're trying to get a black AA clubhouse, you're going to have sure as world as a bunch of honkies going to be coming in on you. You know, Alcoholics Anonymous does not take part in red, yellow, black, or white. They're all precious in our sight. You just know we love you, and there's a lot of clubhouses in the Atlanta area, and you're welcome to come to any one of those.
That's the thing I have to review. Because I've been to several white clubhouses, and I wasn't accepted within my family.
Yeah.
You know, the treatment that I got. They might love me, you know, but that love is you know, for the purpose of
all right. Okay, if there's no further questions, we got a open wide AA meeting tonight at 8:30, right back here. Right. I got one more announcement, too, before we get out of here. Boy, y'all already started running. Clarence P., our state chairperson for the state convention in Jekyll, has a registration desk right on the outside here, and we need all you people. You know, it is a prepaid convention, but we do need your registrations. That will help the committee down there immensely. One more question.
I got two questions.
Shoot.
Okay. My name is Trish, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Trish.
And I am a GSR elect from the Gwinnett Group in Lawrenceville. And we have a problem in our area. A lot of people... mostly newcomers, but not just newcomers, seem to believe that service work, you know, the assemblies, the state committee, GSO, all this stuff is for what they call old-timers, and it doesn't concern them, you know, because they're just interested in getting in here and getting sober, and how do you get them more involved? How do you get their interest?
Well, would any one of you fearless force from up here like to handle that? Honey, I think for me, it would be to invite them to a state assembly. You know, thank God for the service structure in Alcoholics Anonymous, because when Frank Rice come to Alcoholics Anonymous, there was a group there. There was a chairman, there was a coffee pot, and there were some people there, a GSR and a secretary and treasurer. And I don't think these things just happen. I think that comes through work, and you're looking. They say there are no leaders in Alcoholics Anonymous. Our leaders are but trusted servants, and we got a room full of them down here tonight. Get involved. Keith said something one time I've always remembered. You don't make many 12-step calls on people involved in service, and that's good.
Okay, my other question is, I have several people in my group asking about the prepaid convention and why the group should support it. Who do I see to find out about this? Who do I ask? Will it be in the Georgia Service Manual? Or I won't take up the group's time with this, but who do I talk to about that?
Well, there's a lot of information you can take back from this assembly here to your group as to why you should support it. Because it is a prepaid convention, and anyone's a member of Alcoholics Anonymous is more than welcome to come, and it doesn't cost them nothing because the groups send their money to help pay for that state convention. And it's helping another alcoholic find some sobriety.
Well, the problem in our group, and the question has been brought to me, is it looks a lot like a roundup. Okay, it's not a GSR function. It doesn't seem to be a service type function. It seems to be more of a roundup type thing.
No, it's a state
and
convention.
That's why they question why we should send money to
what
support.
What I suggest is you have a group conscience meeting, and you've got a lot of people down here that'd be more than willing to sit with you in that meeting and explain our service structure. Okay. It sounds like there's a lot of questions there.
Yeah, there are. Okay.
Come to our next convention, then you'll know all our history. Yeah. Why? Once you finish your
Okay, if there's no other problems, hey, let's close our meeting in the usual manner by holding hands and saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.